Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. I'm basically a mechanical engineer with having about 35 years of industry experience. Today I will take you through the introduction of supply chain management. We will cover all the aspects of supply chain management. So we are going to cover the following topics in the agenda. We'll go through the concepts, what are the drivers, various components of supply chain, and we will take these topics one by one. So moving on to the first topic, what is supply chain management? Supply chain integrates the supply and demand management within and across the companies. So what does it mean? Supply basically comes from external vendors, and we are actually meeting the demand, which could be either in the form of a firm order or in the form of a forecast. So the supply chain basically takes care of this entire journey, which is, you know, right from the vendor, the material which comes from the vendor, right up to delivery of the material to the customers. So what is supply chain? It's a cross-functional approach to managing the movement of raw materials into an organization. It takes care of the internal processing of the material and the finished goods, and then the movement of the material outwards towards the customer. Basically, it encompasses every aspect of manufacture, right from procurement, manufacture, storage, and the distribution of the material to the markets. The purpose of the supply chain management is to improve the collaboration among the various supply chain partners, or the functions as we call it. So as we talked about, you have procurement which orders the material, you have the stores or the warehouse which receives the material, then there is the quality. You also have the operations or the production which actually converts the raw material or the components into a finished product. And then we actually provide the finished product to the logistics, which then supplies the material to the either distributors or the end customers. So basically, supply chain takes care of this entire activity. And when we say it improves the visibility of the inventory and the velocity. So visibility is at every stage, you know what is the material on order, what is the material in the warehouse, what is the goods in transit, or even the work in process. What are the finished products that you have in your warehouse? And finally, what are the materials which have been shipped out? And velocity is basically the speed with which this entire process is carried out. As we will see in as we go ahead, that velocity is very important, because velocity decides what is the kind of a working capital and the inventory that one works with. It also affects your lead times, your speed to the market, the service levels. This is a very simple flowchart of a supply chain. You cannot see the lines, the flow lines within the supply chain. But as you can see, you have the customer here. The customer places an order. What you do is basically you check whether you have got the finished goods in stocks. If you have the finished goods in stocks, you can execute the order from the finished goods. If you do not have the stocks, then you have to order the raw materials, whereby you check the raw material stocks, you check the bill of material, and based on the bill of material, then you order the material. The order is placed on the vendors. Where the FG stock is available, you allocate the material. So from the FG warehouse, the material is then shipped to the customer. So this is a very, very basic flowchart of the supply chain concept. Traditionally, marketing, distribution, planning, manufacture, quality, logistics, purchasing, these are various functions which actually make the supply chain. And in the traditional structure, each of them operated independently. With the result, each of these functions had their own priorities or their own, optimization or, you can call it priorities. If you look at production, they would like to make the material without a changeover. That means they would like to continuously keep on making the same product without any changes, which is not the ideal thing, because you could in the process build huge stocks. You are producing more than the demand, okay? And this will result in high amount of inventory getting blocked in the, your working capital is getting locked up, yeah. So likewise, if you look at the purchase, they would not like to bring the material, as per the schedules. They would like to bring all the material at one time. If you look at the logistics also, they would like to have material moving out in, full truckloads and one single material so that, there is no complexity, but the reality is different. So as we said, these organizations have their own objectives, their own priorities, and which basically conflict with the organization's objectives. So the example given here is, the marketing's objective is to, ensure very high level of customer service. Now, how do you ensure that? High level of customer service would mean that you carry always high stocks so that you never stock out. Now, this may not be the ideal situation. So this is the reason why you require a supply chain. A supply chain basically ties all the aspects or all the functions which form the supply chain and optimizes the overall output. So that means you are not sub-optimizing any one function, but you are optimizing the overall result. So many manufacturing operations are designed to maximize the throughput and to lower the cost with little consideration for the impact on the inventory levels. Exactly what we just talked about, that production or operations normally like to produce at a stretch a huge volume, but it may not be the ideal thing to do. Likewise, the purchase department, they just wish to, conclude a contract. Many a times the contract is all about price, but there are various other aspects to purchasing. The way the material is packed, the way the material is delivered, the frequency with which the material is delivered. These are important aspects of the supply chain. So the result of these factors is that there is not a single integrated plan for the organization. Traditionally, there used to be multiple plans. So the production will give one kind of a plan where they would like to have only one or two run for every kind of a product, every kind of a finished product or a SKU. The stores would also like to have a single batch coming of a particular material, because functions like the quality assurance, the testing, sampling, they have to put in minimum efforts, but then this is not the ideal case. So clearly there is a need for a mechanism through which these functions are integrated, again emphasizing the point that you need to optimize the overall function to attain the organizational objectives. So supply chain management is strategic, which only this kind of integration can achieve. And when I say strategic, because the design of a supply chain will decide how successful, how efficient and effective the business is going to be, and whether you are going to be able to meet the business objectives. And we will see these what are these business objectives as we go ahead. Very simple supply chain. Here we have taken the example of a cereal manufacturer, something like your cornflakes or something. So if you look at here, you have the farmer who is growing the cereal, which is the input. You have the processing facility where you are converting it into a ready to eat a breakfast cereal or something. You have the packaging. Now for packaging, generally you are outsourcing the packaging material. So like, for example, if you have seen some of the the breakfast cereals, they come in a cardboard box. Nowadays there is a concept of a cardboard box with a polyester pouch inside, which actually houses the finished product. So you need to source the cardboard boxes, which are, you know, made from wood pulp. That means, you know, the pulp is processed into paper or paperboard. It's printed, it's labeled, right? And then you package the material. Even there may be some batch number, some date of manufacture, expiry date, which has to be printed on the product, and then the product is actually given for distribution. And the distribution actually supplies the material to the grocery stores, from where it finally reaches the customer. So it could be either a delivery model, or it could be, you know, people going to a shop and purchasing the material. As you can see here, there are material flows, which is the physical flow of material, and then you also have the information flow. So for example, whenever you have a requirement of cereal in a particular pack size, so let's say you have a 200 gram pack and then you have a 500 gram pack, so you know, you need to make the information available to your packaging manufacturer so that he, you know, supplies the right kind of a package. Also, the design of the package, if there are any promotions, the printing on the package can vary. So this information flow has to be continuously there. Even when the demand is actually increasing or decreasing, this information needs to go right up to the farmer or the people who are supplying the inputs. So we looked at this cereal manufacturer supply chain, which is a very, very basic supply chain. And you hardly find a real supply chain in the industry, which is as simple as this. So what we saw is that the company is purchasing the grain from the farmer. Then they are also purchasing the paperboard, what we talked about, the printed paperboard. And maybe there is some inner bag made of polyester laminates, etc., which actually prevents the product from moisture and, you know, extends the shelf life of the product. There could be labeling requirement, and then the cereal is packed, sent to the distributor, who then ships it to the retailers or the grocers, okay, and then it reaches the end customer. So like we said, this is just to explain in very simple terms the concept of a supply chain. Reality. In reality, supply chain is far more complex. And we here take the example of the automobile industry. So as you can see here, you have various components of a automobile, and many a times these components come from various vendors, or I would say most of the time. So you have normally the engine, which is generally assembled by the company themselves. It may be in the same premises, or it may be coming from another unit. And typically in automobile, you will see that they have a number of units spread across the country. This could be for logistics reasons or for strategic reasons, you know. So you have the engines coming from one place, you have the transmission coming from another place, electrical fuel handling systems, etc., they are coming from different vendors. The seats, upholstery, the various components. So all these are ordered. Typically how the flow is, you have the dealer, car dealer, who places the order, or he gives a forecast. And this forecast is then processed. It is decided which plant the material or the car will come from. It would depend upon which is the model, whether it's a standard model, whether it's a customized model, because sometimes there is one assembly line which actually rolls the standard models, and if there are some high-end cars where you have a very customizable model, then they come from a different setup. So you have the entire flow where you decide where the material will be supplied, or the car or the finished product will be supplied from. Mind you, in cars you also have the upgrades coming, you know, in terms of the new model. Every year you have a new model coming with new features, etc. So simultaneously you have a lot of product engineering and other inputs which are given right up to from design department to the engineering to the vendor development or the vendor management, because you have to transmit or communicate all the changes, and then they have to be synchronized. So this happens, you know, without any interruption. And you know, this gives you an idea of a real complex supply chain. So for automobiles, you know, we have seen that there are multiple products, because you know, you have various models. Within the models you have the variants. So you have the variants like VX and VXI and you know, LX and LXI, and each model has some differentiation. So somewhere you have a power steering, somewhere you have power windows and various features. You know, you may have leather seats, you may have fabric seats. Various variants are being manufactured. So even the technologies can be different in terms of, you know, the, for example, you know, your lamps, it could be either a simple halogen lamp or it could be the projection headlamp, you know, this kind of things. Something more complex, even in terms of the engine, and you nowadays have the hybrid cars, which is a cross between, you know, an electric vehicle and basically a petrol or diesel vehicle. So the material planning and logistics supply chain for automotive industry, what we have just seen, you can understand the kind of a complexity which goes into a supply chain. And it starts with the dealer who is actually placing the order, because you know, the dealer also drives what kind of models are selling, where is the demand. They are also giving a focus based on their requirement and the kind of models they are able to sell in large numbers. So, and mind you, this is happening across the nation. And sometimes, you know, when we are talking of a global manufacturer, this is happening across the globe. That means you are making a product in one country and then you are distributing it at various levels. Imagine the complexity, right, from various suppliers, global suppliers, to global distribution. So there are three levels of decision making in the supply chain management. So first is the strategic planning. Now strategic planning is generally the planning which is done before you actually design the supply chain, or when you are setting up a new plant, etc., or a new site, new operations, new production facility. You basically try and optimize your networks, the location of your vendors, your warehouse, your distribution centers. So things like, you know, where you have you know, cheap power, labor, skilled labor availability, because for many of the products it's necessary that you have a certain skill level. And if you are setting up, let's say, your facility in a place where you don't get the skilled labor, then one has to consider either the cost of training the people or bringing them from elsewhere, which means that you have to also provide for the rehabilitation of the labor, etc. Various aspects such as, you know, partnership with the suppliers, with the distributors, with the customers. So various things are to be considered in the strategic planning, and the strategic planning is a long-term planning. So typically a strategic planning will span about 4 to 5 years. Why 4 to 5 years? Because technology can change in the meantime. You know, also the strategic planning will take into consideration things like, you know, product design and collaboration with for the product design, where you're going to make the product, what kind of a product you're going to make, whether it's going to be a make or a buy decision. That means, are you going to make the product or assemble it in-house, or are you going to get it from outside in an assembled condition, ready to assemble on your assembly line? So it involves aligning the entire organization, the overall organizational strategy in the supply chain strategy. So this is the strategic planning, which is of very high importance. certain things that you do in the strategic planning are difficult to change as you go ahead. So a lot of emphasis is given on these strategic planning. Now we come to tactical management. Tactical management is shorter than the strategic management and longer than the operational management. So tactical management typically, you know, will be for a quarter, or it'll be for 6 months, or, you know, at the most a year. Here the businesses make short-term decisions, you know, which involve the supply chain at this level. Tactical decisions play a big role in controlling the cost and minimizing the risk. How does it happen? Things like, you know, where a particular model is selling. Now we are taking still the automotive example, and we find that there is a particular market where a particular model is running very well. You may want to produce this particular model at a site which is close to the market, or where you have some discrete advantage in terms of tax, or you're able to manage very, very quick lead times, you know, because of your suppliers being close for that particular model, the specific kind of spares or components that you require. So these are decisions which are taken looking at the current scenario and to achieve the best optimum results. So you are trying to optimize the sourcing, production, inventory, even, you know, kind of inventory that you're going to hold. We already talked about, you know, this transportation or proximity to the market that we are talking about. So things like even benchmarking of the operations against the competition. We also come here, you know, to the benchmarking within the various sites. So typically, if you have an economical model and you find that one of your sites is very efficient, then you may decide to make the model at this particular site, since the cost is very important. Generally, this will be the entry level vehicles, you know, which are the model which you want to make it in the most efficient manner, because when you talk of the bottom of the pyramid, you have these entry level products which are the highest demand. So you would like to make it at the most efficient and effective sites. So a tactical management is, as I said, about the not so long term and not very short term, not very operational. Now we come to the operational level. So here it's the day-to-day management, you know. You are making decisions about what models, what colors, and this would depend upon what is the kind of orders you have on hand, or what is the kind of the forecast that you have on hand. So you are making decisions which may be, you know, on a day-to-day basis, or it may, you know, span over a week, or at the most, you know, a fortnight. So you have the effective operational level processes, you know, to basically, you know, which emerge from the strategic and the tactical planning. So some of the aspects of this level are, you know, daily production and distribution planning. So as we said, you know, what models, what colors, what variants to be made. This would depend also upon, sometimes, you know, industries maintain a buffer or you know, a minimum stock level. So when they find that one particular model is running very fast, the movement of the model is very fast, then you may decide to maintain certain levels. So you are constantly monitoring the stock of this and then planning your production accordingly, so that, you know, you are making products which will ensure that there'll be no stock out in the market. So operational is basically more of a functional or a day-to-day kind of planning. So now we come to the integrated supply chain, and that's what we are talking about, because integration is, you know, where all the functions, they have to work in sync. So the foundation of integration is the information sharing, basically the communication, and coordination is the next dimension. Then you know, we come to the organizational linkages, which will enable the sharing of the risks, the costs, and the gain. Now, what does it mean? You know, for a supply chain to perform, it's like an orchestra. Everyone has to perform in sync. If anyone performs out of sync, the entire chain gets disturbed. And as you see here, the supply chain starts right from the supplier, the procurement, which actually initiates the supply of material. Then comes the manufacture. You have the product which is manufactured, the inventory which is maintained, the distribution, logistics, retail, and finally the customer. So customer is the external part, but you can say right from supplier to retail, this forms the entire chain, the integrated chain. Customer also, you can say, is part of the chain because you have to deliver the product to the customer. The links stops once you have delivered the product to the customer, end customer. So the integrated supply chain brings the loosely bound functions, and basically synchronizes or coordinates the activities to achieve a overall efficiency and continuous improvement. What it does is it improves the competitiveness of the business. How it does that? That we will see in the future chapters or the future slides. Truly integrated supply chain does more than reducing the cost. It also creates value for the company. It is the supply chain partners and its shareholders. What we mean by this is because supply chain, it's not only about the cost, it's about the customer service levels, the service level agreements that you have, the lead times that you have. Simple thing, if you have high lead times, you will have to operate with higher inventories. But if you are able to respond quickly to the market, you can operate with much lower inventory. You can customize and deliver a product to the customer more quickly. Because in today's time, customer is not willing to wait. He will not wait for a few months. So if you tell him that we can deliver, an automobile exactly to your requirement. So you want, a leather seat of a particular color. You want a particular kind of an engine or particular kind of a sitting arrangement. And we can deliver it to you. This can be a unique selling proposition. So when we talk of the value addition, we talk of value addition in various ways, Also, an effective supply chain will ensure that your total inventory, right from the raw material or the components, incoming components, right up to the finished product, this will be minimized. The velocity of the material through your supply chain will be speeded up. Imagine you have 60 days credit with the vendors, and you are able to bring the component, convert it into a finished product, and then deliver it to the dealer or the distributor, and you are able to do this within 15 days. The dealer may be paying you within 60 days. So what you have done is you have minimized your working capital. You are working with the working capital of your vendors, and the kind of the credit that you extend to your distributors, etc., can be minimized. Take another example that if the business model is where you get the money upfront, like when you buy a car, you first have to make the full payment. So in such a situation, if you're getting a credit from your vendors and you're getting ready money, then in many cases you could be operating with the working capital of your vendors. That means the more efficient your supply chain, the more profitable the organization is going to be, and lesser will be your cost of capital. So in the supply chain integration, we have seen that you have the upstream suppliers, you have the your direct suppliers. Upstream means the suppliers to your vendors, direct suppliers, then your company, you have the distribution channels, and finally you have the customer. So material flow always happens from left to right, but the information flow happens both ways. both ways, because there is a information flow when the material is going to flow, when the material is going to be delivered. Also, the market demand, you know, so from the distribution channel, let's say you have the firm orders or you have a forecast, right? So then this information is actually used by your company to plan your production. It's also used by your suppliers to tell them what your requirement is going to be in future. And then your supplier in turn is going to be informing his suppliers on what is the kind of demand they are going to be facing in the near term.